Hey guys, welcome back to Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Carly Basham. Thank you all so much again for tuning in this Sunday. I hope you all are having a phenomenal day. I hope that you all have had a phenomenal week, a good reset Sunday. It's always the best. Today, guys, we have an incredible woman with us today. She was a member of the U.S. national team in 2024. She won the silver with Team USA for the Pan American Cup Final Six. She played collegiately at Kentucky from 2020 to 2021 and then transferred and played at Georgia from 2022 to 2024. She was named in ABCA Second Team All-American in 2023, as well as was named in Honorable Mention in 2022. She was the 2023 SEC Player of the Year, which is so lit, dude. That's crazy. She also was named three-time All-ACC. She left Georgia as their all-time leader for block assists with 450 in blocks per set with 1.43 per set as well. She led Division One with points, averaging 5.31 points per set as a middle blocker, which is crazy. She also set Georgia's rally scoring record with 183 blocks in 2022. In 2020 to 2021, she helped her team win the NCAA title at Kentucky and won back-to-back SEC championships in 2020 and 2021. And on top of that, she was also a member of the 2023 U.S. Collegiate National Team. The resume speaks for itself, ladies and gentlemen. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sophie Fisher. Sophie, thank you so much and welcome to Simply You.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm so excited to get into it today. You have been a person that I have always been a fan of. A little fun fact, I have literally like been supporting you from the time that you were at Kentucky to the time that you transferred to. Yes, like I swear, like I have always been such a fan of yours. Like it is.
That is so funny.
Yes, I swear. So I'm just so excited and so happy to have you on the show and kind of get into it today. And yeah, just thanks again for being here. I'm super excited.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I guess just to kind of get into it, we'll start with some more casual questions just to kind of set the mood, set the tone. But as far as because, I mean, we do know just based on the resume that you did transfer. I am also a transfer student athlete as well, too. So could you just kind of tell us a little bit about some advice that you had received from a coach, from either like a mentor that just really, really helped you either during that time or just really just helped you throughout your life too?
Yeah, I mean, I think that from a coach, I'd have to say once I got to Georgia, I was putting so much pressure on myself because I feel like the environment that I was in, personally, I wasn't my best self at Kentucky and it was a very toxic environment for me. So I was very hard on myself 24/7. So whenever I got to Georgia, he was like, just learn, like, you're going to grow naturally. So just, like, embrace the growth and the growing pains and stuff. And so I think that not just with level, but with everything in life, like, you're going to have, like, growing pains. And, like, for me especially, like, I'm 6'4". I know what growing pains, like, physically feel like.
Right.
To feel that, like, emotionally or, like, mentally, too, when you're learning something or just, like, having a change in life. I think that was, like, really cool to, like, think of, because now if anything like sucks in my life, I'm like, oh, growing pains.
And growing pain. Ooh, I love that because I have never thought about like growing pains as being like emotional as well. But I love that take on it too because I literally feel like, especially just like as you get older too, like you are gonna see more like emotional growing pains than almost like the physical growing pains at that. Like a lot more emotional than physical. And I feel like if you can just look at those, like, growing pains, those, like, growing situations as being, like, yeah. Nope, like, these, like, this is going to be good for me. Like, I am going to be able to, like, learn something from it. I feel like that's just such a good approach because it's so easy whenever something, like, hard does happen to be, like, oh, my gosh, like, what the hell is going on and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, and then I just kind of, like, spiral from there. But I love that. So that is awesome. That is awesome.
Pretty good.
No, that's awesome. And I feel like even just going from like a toxic environment like Kentucky was for you and then transitioning over to that new school, I feel like just having a coach that has that approach too probably helped you so much with even just like finding like just like who you are, what you like, how like, oh my gosh, that had to have been so helpful.
He did so much. I mean, even like, I don't know, he just like really changed the way I think about like a lot of things in like a really positive way. But yeah, it was just so enlightening to kind of go there and see like a whole different perspective of like, especially learning the volleyball side, but then also like, I had such a big like leadership role. So then the leadership side and even my outside life, my personal life, my relationships, like everything like that. So he kind of helped me with like a little bit of everything, but I kind of just related it all back to just growing pains.
That's awesome. I love that too. And I feel like it's so nice whenever you have a coach that you just feel that comfortable with and who can actually just like who like where it's like if you're the player, I feel like it's so nice to be able to have a coach who is like investing in just who you are as a person too, because like that's where I feel like sometimes as like a student or like not even like a student athlete but just like an athlete in general, I feel like it can be so hard if you feel your coach purely just investing in just like your skills, because that can just be so like demoralizing almost, like damn, you know, like it can really freaking hit hard because it can just take away so much of the value too that you even like would have within yourself too. So I love that. Oh my gosh, I love that. That's awesome. Speaking of, because I know that you kind of mentioned just your relationships within your coach whenever you were transferring as well, but how has your view on relationships evolved over time?
Oh gosh. Well, I think relationships, okay, I used to not be someone who like was a relationship girl. Like I didn't want to get close to anyone. I hated vulnerability. Like I'm not talking about like intimate relationships or like anything, but like I was cool with having like two friends. Like I don't really want to get to know you. I think relationships are really important. Like I think the more people you have in your corner now, like the better. And so I think that maybe I was kind of isolating myself a little bit. Don't know why, but I was like, I just don't want anyone to.
I don't want to be close to you.
Yeah.
No, that's so real.
No, but I think the more that like I've let people into my life and had more like meaningful relationships with people, the better. And not just that I'm a shy person, but sometimes I'm just like.
You're just selective, I feel like. You're just very selective, which is not a bad thing at all. No. It is not a bad thing at all.
No, and I feel like I'm approachable. Like, I feel like. But whenever I approach people, I'm just like, I don't really know if I want to tell you everything about me right now. Because I also don't know if you're ready. So, yeah, I don't know. But I think it's really important. And the more that I've, like, grown up and matured, I think that you should have plenty of people in your corner. If you don't, you should reach out, find some people.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm. No, and I actually can relate to that so much. Because I feel like whenever you get to be a very selective person, I feel like it can almost, like, kind of take you outside of the crowd almost, just because I feel like and also like you and I are just because I like we both majored in psychology, like we both just see things, you know, and I feel like whenever you are like that and whenever you are that type of person too, I feel like it can be so hard to almost like latch yourself onto people because one, I feel like it's like not necessarily easy for people to latch onto you, but I feel like people are just drawn to you, you know, in whatever way, shape, or form. And with that, it's great. But also, I think that you have to almost, like, protect your peace in ways, too. But with that, I feel like it's super easy to, like, protect your peace too much and be like, I don't want to talk to anyone, you know, because that's, that's exactly how I've been, too. Especially, I feel like just if you're constantly, like, thinking about just, like, life or friends or just, like, family, like, whatever it may be, it's super easy just to stay in kind of like your own like lane almost, you know? And I think just trying to realize and be like, you know what? Like, I really haven't reached out to Soph in a while or, you know, like this and that, you know, just to almost like challenge yourself to make sure that they know that you are there for them too, I feel like is huge. But no, I relate to that so, so much.
Well, I think even with, like, you were talking about, like, what we did in school and stuff, I think that I tend to, like, overanalyze people because of my degree. And so, like, I'm, every kind of things that people are doing that they probably don't know this, that they're doing, I'm like, I learned about that, I'm scared of you. Or, like, but it's just, like, I can stop doing that. and maybe if you do it, we can stop doing it. But it's not really judging people, but it's like, I know why you're doing that, and it's making me like, I don't know. So I don't know. Schooling part definitely plays a factor into it, but I think it was just so interesting to learn about what I did. So.
Yes, 100%. And just kind of going into like the schooling aspect of it just for like a second too. I think it's so hard to not like apply what we have learned whenever we
Yeah.
see and talk to people too. Like that is what I struggle with so much is like turning off my thoughts, you know? Like I feel
Yeah.
like and like I feel like there's some people who they don't really think that much. They kind of just like do and just like kind of see what happens. But then I also feel like people like us, where we just are constantly analyzing and analyzing and
Yeah.
analyzing, it can just make you see things for almost like what they like I feel like it can really just make you see things for what they are. And whenever you start to see things for what they are, it can make a lot of things like not look that great, to be honest. Like it can make a lot of things be so just like unappealing, I guess, you know? Like that's where I have realized too. It's like the more that I'm learning, which like this may be weird, but it's like the more that I'm learning, the more it's like taking me like away from like certain things and people and stuff
Yeah.
like that too, just because I'm like, I don't know like if that's me, you know? Like I don't know like if
Yeah.
that's what I'm about, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, especially with, I think I was like growing up too, that's probably part of it, but like going out and stuff, like maybe I'm not in the right areas, but I have no, and like I feel like I'm really weird for this. Zero desire. Like,
Zero. No, trust me. You are one of the first people who I have actually heard just like say this. And I swear, so I feel this like I have zero desire to go to like
yeah.
bars, to go out and like go party and like do all this. I mean, like, do not get me wrong. I love like getting like a little cocktail, going out with like the girls, doing like stuff like that. But it's
Sure.
like, the thought of going to like just to like a random bar or club for like 5 hours, I'm like, what are we doing?
No, and that's the thing. That's when, whenever I get into those settings, I think I get worse because I'm like, I'm mad. I want to be in my PJs. I want to be, it smells in here. It's hot. I'm tired. Like, and then it's like, and these four people are in the corner doing God knows what. And I'm like, and then you want to hang out with me after, and I'm good. Like, I'm okay.
Exactly. And that's where too, I feel like whenever you just have and take so much time to yourself too, I feel like you start to learn like how you actually like to live, how you actually like to do things. And it makes you realize also like what you don't like too. And I feel like whenever you go out, it's like that
Yeah.
aspect of like overanalyzing, it doesn't stop either. And I feel like whenever
Yeah.
you're in that big of a crowd too, you're just like, man, like I could be home watching my show, reading my book, taking a bath, like just like
Exactly. I
working
need
on
help.
me, you know, like just working on me.
Yeah. My friend actually, so you said protect your peace earlier, but one of my good friends, that's her like favorite saying, and like she'll like Irish goodbye from somewhere. Like this was like 2 years ago whenever I was like, let's go out, guys. And I'd be like, where are you? And she'd be like, I'm protecting my peace. Like,
Goodbye,
goodbye.
yeah.
So annoying. And then, but now I'm like, I will protect my
But you're
peace.
like, yeah, bye. You're like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's where too, I feel like it's so hard for me because like I'll like go out for like special like occasions and
Yeah.
to like celebrate and stuff like that. Cause like I went out for like my birthday, but like that was like the first time that I had gone out in like so freaking long. But I think that at least for like me, if and whenever I do go out, it's like I just start to like see like these things where I'm just like, what the hell are we freaking doing right now? Like what
Right.
are we doing? Like seriously. And then I feel like as soon as I have one of those thoughts, it just like goes to me being like, I could have just stayed home. And like as soon as I think that, I'm like, I just want to be home now. I'm like, I just want to be in my home, in my just like in my space. Oh my God.
Yeah, the second you get the home feeling and you're like out like downtown or at some party or club, it's you're wrapped,
You're it's
man.
wrapped. I'm like, you're done, you're done, you're done. It's literally just
Literally.
like a waiting game to see how long that thought takes to happen. Like,
I know, like, literally, let's guess how long it's gonna take. But even when we were in Louisville, and we were at, like, what is it, PBR or
Yes,
something?
yes.
I'm looking at, like, what are these girls doing on this, like, I don't know if PBR is gonna listen to this, but, like, I don't know.
I
But what are
would.
they doing on the, what are they doing? What are the girls doing? What are they wearing?
What are they wearing? And literally, yeah, sorry. Please, 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 please.
No, but, like, why am I here? Like, and you guys dragged me out of my bed to come to here. Like, I'm good. I'm gonna go home. And then me and my sister were like, all right,
I
bye.
know, literally, that's where too. It's even like stuff like that where it was like the only reason that made me go out was just to like see you and Sky and Claire and like all of them like that. But it was like, but like there would just be so many moments where I would just look around and be like, this can't be it. Like, this cannot be where I am spending my time right now. Like, it's like those thoughts. And I feel like it's so hard because it's not like the people that like I'm with, it's just like the environment. I'm like, guys, like we can do better than this. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, what are we doing?
And that's what makes it tough because I don't not like to go out and like party because I have like lame, boring friends. Like my friends are very fun. They make me giggle. They make me laugh. They're a great time. But it's just like whenever I get into these situations, I see the other people who I don't know. I'm not interested
And
at
not
all.
yes and that yes and that's what I feel like is so hard about it too, is because you go out with your select group of people and then it's like you are put into all of these random people and you just see that it's almost like the reality of being in the room with people who you know are just nothing
Like you.
like you at all, and it's just like, why are we in the same room right now? Like what are we doing?
It sounds like so judgmental, but it's not like I'm mad or like don't want to be in the same room as someone not like me. But like it's like you have totally different like interests and aspirations because you're doing the splits and you're doing handstands, chugging drinks, and like that's not me.
Yes, like
So
that's their like Super Bowl, you know? And I feel like
yeah,
that's what's like the
exactly.
difference is because like they do that as like their like peak, like it's so fun, like that's like all that they want to do. And like I literally just go so that I can like go and like see like my friends who are there. Like I don't have any interest in like doing all of like the crazy like extra stuff, I guess, you know? And like do not get me wrong, like me and my friends, whenever we do go out, we fucking have a great time. Like we know how to get down, but I think it's just hard. And I do like how you said too, like it's not like we're like judging them. It's more so just like you can feel whenever you're just not in like alignment with somebody, with like a group of people. It's like there's just stuff there. It's what, like, whether it's just how you carry yourselves, how you present yourselves, how you speak, how you act, how like how you behave, like, and it's just so true too that it's like the people that you are like with, that you are seen with, you know, like that is going to be a reflection of you. And I feel like it's so hard to know that and then to be in those type of environments that you know are just not in that, like where like it's like you know that you're just in an environment that is just not in like alignment with you, and you're just like, okay, like this just does not fit. Like that's at least how I felt with people, because I like never go there, which like I know tons and tons of people. Like I know tons of people who go there every single weekend, and like by all means, like if that is fun for you, like I am not gonna stop that. Like I support it, I respect it by all means. But like I know that like going to like going to freaking any bar in Louisville, Kentucky is not gonna do it for me. Like that is not going to do it for me at all. But like we have these other group of people, and that's like their peak of life, you know? Like that's so much fun for them, and I think it's just. It's just, I think your definition of what you think is fun and what you think is like gonna like fulfill you.
No, exactly.
Kind of going more into relationships a little bit, but how do you maintain healthy boundaries within your relationships? Because I feel like boundaries, especially as you get older and as your relationships evolve, your boundaries have to be set and they have to be respected, but it's so hard to actually do that. So can you just kind of get into, I guess, how you maintain healthy boundaries within your relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've gotten better like in the past year of that, but I really think that communication, like, duh, like you gotta talk about your boundaries, but I think it's like harder than it sounds to just be like, we need to have good communication. Like, even in a team setting, if you translate it to that, like, that's hard too. So, like, in relationships, I think my biggest thing is just like you have to kind of advocate for yourself and communicate what you want and like put your foot down. Like, if it's, and it's not like, it doesn't have to be with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, it doesn't have to be with like your family, it could be with whoever. But I think that even like me and my sister, for example, we're living together right now in the off season. And clearly, we've had to establish some boundaries.
Right, so I can only imagine it.
And sometimes it may not come off like super nice, but like I'll be like, I don't know, what have I told her recently? We've been like watching a show, for example, and she just won't stop talking every 3 seconds about like what's going on in the show. This isn't a huge like boundary thing, but like this is just like a little tiny thing. And I'm like, I looked at her, I was like, can you please shut up? Like, please.
Please.
And I
But
was
it's
like,
just like stuff like that. Yes, it's stuff like that.
And I was like, okay, I'm sorry, that was really rude. I meant I'm trying to pay attention to the show, and when you talk, I get distracted. Can you please talk about after? And so at first,
Difference though, being like, okay, I'm so sorry, that is not what I meant. Here is what I meant though. Because that's
yeah,
so
but
real though. It's so real.
yeah, no, but we have little tiny like boundaries with each other. But I think that in any relationship with like, even romantically and stuff, like you need to have good like boundaries with each other, or like somebody's gonna get walked over or something goes south, and so the quicker you can establish them, the better. And so that's what I think I've also learned from my next relationship, is we're setting them straight from the beginning.
Love that. And I love so how you said that you have to be able to advocate, especially for yourself. Because I think that whenever you are in a relationship, whether it's romantic, platonic, within your family, I think it's so easy to disregard how you're feeling just to make the other person happy. I mean, like, and like at least for me, like that is something that I have had to work on so much. It's just if I feel something or if I think something, like I want to make sure that I am saying it and that it's going to be able to like be like received also. Because I feel like that's what's so scary, because I think we're also afraid of how the other person is going to react from how we say that we feel, you know? But I think that one, if you can say what you're feeling, and if it doesn't come across how you exactly want it, like your example, then take a step back and be like, okay, look, I'm so sorry, but like that just came from me feeling this way, you know? But like the most important thing is just to say something, because that's where I feel like if you say something, you can always sit down and talk about where it stemmed from, what you meant by it. But if you don't say something, that's just how it continues just to bottle up and bottle up. And then that's just going to create so much tension between whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like one thing I found out about myself, is that I love to just like bottle it up and be like, I'm just gonna, whatever you do, just let it happen. Like, I'm not gonna communicate about it. Like, it'll annoy me so much, but I'm just gonna shut up. And then it's gonna come to a point where I'm gonna like literally be like, I'm gonna be rude, because I'm gonna be
Yes,
like,
no, exactly. You're gonna be rude,
thank you so
yes.
much. And I'm not like being rude. I don't know, I'm being rude. But then we like
But it's
obviously
so
talk
much
about
of
it.
that rage and that tension bottling up that as soon as you actually say it, it's gonna be rude, because that's just all that you have in you is just that rage and
Exactly.
like
You don't say
literally.
anything. I learned that like it's that what you talked about it being scary and stuff. Like, it's so scary to be like, hey, like this really bothers me when you do this. Like, can we do this instead? Or like, I want you to treat me this way because that's what I deserve. Or I don't know, a million other examples. It's scary to say that stuff, but the quicker you say it, the probably less you're gonna get frustrated, the more fun you're gonna have with the person. Like, romantically, probably the more you're gonna love each other, like, if you just like talk about it sooner. So,
And also,
I
they're
don't
probably going to, one, they're probably going to either, like, appreciate it more, because then they're actually going to be able to know, like, what to, like, change, what to kind of, like, look
know.
out for. Because also, that's something that I've even had to just be more, like, aware too. It's just because I'm the same way where, like, I will bottle up everything in me because I just don't want to say it. And then, but then it's like vice versa. I'm also expecting that person to know exactly how I'm feeling too, without me saying anything. And then it's like, I'll get mad at them because they won't know that I'm feeling mad, but I haven't said that I'm mad, you know? So it's just like, that's just where I just feel like, especially for me, like, I've just been seeing and I've been really trying to focus on, like, if I do feel that feeling, like, I just want to sit down whenever I do feel it, because if I choose to be able to sit down and express that now, it's probably going to come across better at that time than in like 1 to 2 weeks, because then you're going to see the worst side of me whenever I am relentless and ruthless and rude and rude as fuck, and just being like, look, like, you are literally pissing me the fuck off. I cannot stand this. Like,
I promise I'm not rude 24/7. I feel like I've talked about myself being like so rude about like blowing up to my sister and like,
trust me. I have not gotten that at all. I don't think that anyone else listening is going to think that as well, because one, I think that we all have blow ups. We all have those feelings whenever we do feel something that either makes us like uncomfortable or makes us like just feel like weird or mad or something like that. And we've all, I promise you, Soph, we have all lost our cool in one way, shape, or form, because we have not, like, I don't know. Just know what you are saying does not sound rude.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about, like, people I don't like to see downtown. And
You are good. You are good. But I feel like whenever you do feel, like, mad or, like, uncomfortable or something, and then it's like, you do want to like say something to that person. At least for me, part of like that fear to make me not say something is also because I'll be like afraid of losing that person too. But that's like, if and when I have like expressed how I am feeling and I have tried to set that boundary, and if they don't respect that, then I have been like, they are not even for me, you know? But it's like, I felt like I was just trying so hard to like hold on to those relationships because I was afraid that they were going to leave me without even questioning and asking myself, like, would I like them almost, you know? Like, I feel like it's almost like switching that narrative and being like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we just place those people in such like a high form, and then we just completely disregard like ourselves. And it's just crazy. Yeah.
I feel like with boys, I can more, like, put this category onto rather than, like, family or friends. But, like, I feel like with some boys, you're like, oh, my gosh, I love them. They're so cute. They're so funny. Like, I don't care how they treat me because they do this and they do this. And, like, so...
You're trying to, like, mask it.
Yeah, they're masking. I don't know. But I think that's kind of what I relate it more to is, like, boys. But I think it's easier now to be like, hey, you're actually not going to do that.
I think it's much harder to be able to speak up for yourself in a like romantic relationship than a platonic one. And like, it's just so scary again. And it's just like, but just like take the leap, you know, like just go for it.
I know, you really do have to just go for it. I mean, there's been times where I think I've gotten better at it recently, but I would say 2 years ago, I was like silent, but recently.
Silent.
I know, right? But the quicker you do it with somebody, and you're just like, I'm going to tell you how it is. But, like, I also want them to tell me, like, why I don't like when you do that.
Yes, and exactly. Like, it's got to be, like, a two-way street, too, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like it's so good to realize, too, that, like, if you expect somebody to be able to receive what you want to say, you have to be receptive of what they, you know? And I feel like that's also what can be so hard about it, too, because... most people will go into that conversation just thinking that, you know, like, they're right. But you still have to be able to slow down and see how the other person's feeling too, you know. But that can be so freaking hard. Oh, my gosh. But, yes, we got this. Kind of talking about, like, perspective a little bit. So, how do you handle setbacks or failures? Because I feel like, especially... you are literally like a top-notch athlete, and I think on top of just like this stage of life too, there's gonna be lots of trial and error, you know? Like, I think that especially just within just like within yourself trying to like try new things, like you're probably gonna fail first before you succeed. So could you just tell and talk about just how you handle those setbacks or failures if and when they do come up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this kind of relates back to like the growing pain stuff, but then there's also this like chart my coach used to always draw, and it was like, I wish I could draw it for you, but it's like, it's going up like this, and you're getting really good at stuff, and then you have, you're plummeting, and you're down in here, and you're just here for a little bit, and then that's just kind of like the way that life is. Like, you're never just gonna like go through life. You're never just gonna be like this. And so I think that whenever I do have setbacks, failures, like whatever, I just kind of remind myself that this is like what happens, and like it's also a learning moment, like a lesson. Like, there's every time you fail, you're learning probably 100 lessons from that failure, like depending on how severe it is. So, and I'm a huge like learner, especially like when it's coming to like volleyball. Like, the more I'm like learning and like rewatching film and from a game and stuff, I'll literally play back everything in my head that I did wrong and like think about what I can do right, and then like go on the court and try to do the exact thing. So I don't know. I really just take it all as a learning moment, or just remember the whole like, it's not linear. Like, we're not going to get better in one day. Like, the thing that sucks today isn't going to be better by tomorrow. Like, I don't know. So maybe all three of those things combined.
I love that. So I love that. God, there's so much to unpack there. I think one, whenever you really start to accept that life is not linear, it's going to just relieve so much, I feel like, because there's going to be days where you feel on top of the world. And then I'm not even kidding you, the next day you could feel like you are at like rock bottom, and it can be such a drastic flip. But I think just with like, but like, I don't really know, like, to me, like, it all just goes back to just taking it almost like one day, like at a time, you know, because I feel like each day is going to look different. It's going to feel different. And yes, and it's like, yes, I think it's good to keep like the big picture in your mind and like not lose sight of that vision. But I think it's so important just to take the day for just like exactly what it is, you know, because I think it's so easy to get lost into where you want to be, especially whenever those failures happen, because you just see the success that you want, but you don't see the failures that have to happen to reach that, reach that success. And I think too, I just think it's so important to realize that like failures are going to happen, but it's like, if you can take those failures and just learn just to like grow from them and almost just like use those like failures as those like growing pains, it's going to make life so much better, because I feel like you can either look at failures and make it into like a negative bad thing, or you can look at failures and choose to learn something. And that can literally be your like momentum to, you know, take 10 steps up. You know? And it's crazy.
Well, I like how you talk about like taking everything day by day, because I think like day by day has been my motto for like the past year and a half. Like, 2024 wasn't exactly like my best year by any means. Back in like the beginning of 2024, my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer, and like out of nowhere. So that was just like a roller coaster itself, and like trying to navigate life through that. And then,
gosh, and it was out of nowhere too. I had no idea.
It usually happens. No, you're fine. But then like 2024. Like, volleyball, that's my thing. I can't wait to get back into it. And, like, I'm kind of just, like, not doing great. And I was like, that's not cool. Like, I took a fifth year so that I could be good and, like, have fun. And, like, I'm coming off, like, SEC Player of the Year, and, like, there's all these things. And then
there's coming off all these highs and highs and highs.
Yeah, and then you get into season. Yeah, we get into season, and I'm dealing with, like, okay, I'm not doing too great. My mom has brain cancer. My siblings don't live near me anymore. Like, my, like, I'm all alone, basically. And then also, my team isn't winning at all. Like, we're doing, like, love my dogs, love my old teammates, but we had an awful season. And, like, it just, every single day, I was like, oh, you just gotta take it day by day. Like, I think that's really the only thing that, like, got me through. And then you just keep seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Not that, like, the end of the tunnel was that it was over, or, like, whatever, I'm like volleyball, like me, or like my mom's cancer and stuff, but more of like the next big thing to look forward to. Like, I guess my like day by day thing was like professional volleyball, and not that I wanted to leave college athletics, but it's because I knew I had like a fresh start and like I could have like things late. And then even like once I got to professional, like day by day, I was like, my first week there, I beat myself up pretty hard because I was like, whoa, Sophia, like, where are we? And so, but then, like, reminding myself just take it, like, day by day. And then, like, even up to here, we're figuring stuff out with where we're living. So I love the whole day by day stuff, basically. But, yeah.
Gosh, one, I feel like just with how much change and transitioning you have had throughout the past, like, year, I feel like you almost have to just be like day by day, every single day, just because like you don't even know like what's going to happen next either, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I also liked how you mentioned too, like especially just that first week of being and playing pro too, how you even still had to continue to take it day by day, you know, because I feel like even then, like people could look at that and be like, oh, and just see you, you know, playing at like the highest level and stuff like that. But it's like, they don't see the like mental strain that like it takes to even go from literally straight out of college into that, you know, too, right? Like that is just such a big transition on top of all of like your personal things going on too. Like that, like it would just almost be too much and too heavy to even try to look forward, you know, because.
Yeah. Because I feel like every time I started looking forward to, it would make me a little bit more sad. Because I'd be like, not sad, but like, whatever negative emotion you could really think of. Because I was like, I want to be present. Like, that's another big thing of mine is like, I want to be present, like, be where my feet are and stuff. But at the same time, I don't want to, like, feel like this. And I don't want my day to go like this. So, like, I can't wait for the next day. But I think that.
It's almost like some guilt almost to it. Because it's like.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know how you want to feel, you know how you want to live, you know how you want to see it, but it's like, you're still seeing these negative things. It's like, I don't know. I completely relate to that.
No, yeah. It was a hard year to be positive, but I did it. I got through it.
Well, I feel like too, that's where some people look at being positive as being super happy 24/7. And that's honestly, like, that is, like, the complete opposite, I feel like, of what being positive truly is. I just think that being positive is looking at each and every situation that is thrown at you and just, one, knowing that you're going to find a way through it. Like, whatever it looks like, you are going to get through it somehow, some way, some shape or form. Mm-hmm. And two, just knowing that you're going to be able to gain something from it. Like, It may not be something that you necessarily wanted to gain, but you are still going to gain something from it, whether that's strength, whether that's some resiliency, whether that's some like self-love, whether that's teaching yourself how to be present. It may be things that you didn't ask for, but just that life, the universe, God is like, nope, like we are going to have you learn this today, you know? And I think that can also kind of go into just taking it day by day too, and just trying to stay positive, I think, because like, it's not realistic and it's not human to be able to stay positive during every single day, especially whenever things get thrown your way, you know? Like you even mentioned like, you know, like your mom having to transfer, making the transition from college to pro, you know, like there were so many things where you probably honestly were just like, holy shit, like, what is my life right now? You know, like, what is truly going on? But I feel like that's where I feel like the most positive and, like, impactful thing that you can do for yourself in those times and in those moments is just to sit and just be and just feel it, you know? Like, that's, like, the best thing, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that, like, okay, more specifically, like, this past, like, year and a half, I think, like, dealing with my mom, not with my mom, but, like, my mom having brain cancer while I'm in, because she went to go live in Ohio with my aunt because she's a nurse, and then I'm in Georgia, my family's in South Carolina, the rest of them. So we're kind of like spread a little bit all over. Like my brother and
That
sister want
must have
to be.
been hard too, because I feel like your mind must have been there, but then it's like your body's in Georgia.
Yeah. And so it kept having to, I kept having to like, I don't know, I'm thinking about like my mom, like 24/7, and my siblings, because like my sister's my age and she's living in like Ohio. Like she wants to go find a job and like do XYZ, and then my little brother like wants to go to college and like all these things. So like it's like I'm worrying about like so many people and so many things, but also like trying to be a leader on my team, like a good leader, and like help this team like win a game. And like also trying to just like get myself to the next level and like work hard enough. And like the better I feel like my team does, I feel like the more recognition like individuals get as well. So like I felt like I needed to do that to go professionally, because I didn't go to Nebraska, Wisconsin, Stanford. I went to Georgia, which I love my experience there, but I know that I had to like, we got to get on
Kind
the
of
map.
work a little bit harder to get your name on the books because you didn't have the big school name to back you up. It makes sense.
So it was like, it was just tough. It was a hard year, but like with positivity and stuff, I think that I kind of just relied on like my people and stuff. And that's kind of where I go back to like connections and whatnot is, and like relationships is that like I had a very like close-knit group of people who I would kind of just like tell everything to, and they were like kind of my rocks to kind of be like, you seem off like what's going on, and like I'm not leaving till you're ready. And so once I just talk about it, I feel a lot better. But yeah, I feel like the people kind of helped me become more positive through the whole shebang.
No, I love that too, because I feel like, especially in those hard moments and like those hard days, those hard times, it really shows you who are your people through and through. You know, like that is where those hard moments can bring such gratitude and can bring such positivity to your life. Because, yes, it's like the actual situation is horrible, it's sad, it's heavy, it's hard, but with that too comes so much love and so much support and so much care and kindness that you probably didn't see as heavy as you also did before too, you know? So I think that that's where too, I think that, I mean, your connections and your friendships and your like relationships that you have and that you are able to maintain within your life can carry equally just as much weight as the, as like that heavy and hard stuff does too, because especially, I feel like whenever you get into hard and heavy situations, it's so easy to lose yourself or just to get lost into what's going on. And I think that if you have your true core people, like who one, know you through and through, and two, who feel comfortable enough to be just to be like, so like we know that something like is going on, like just talk to us. And like just taking the time to be able to slow things down and being like, just be like, we are here, you know, like friends and people who just show up. Like, that's what I feel like too can bring so much gratitude and so much positivity within those super heavy and hard times too. It's just because you see the people who just show up. And I mean, like, showing up can hold so much freaking weight. It's essential too. So.
I think also just like seeing people like show up for me, especially like my teammates and stuff, like seeing them like be in my corner and whatnot while I'm going through like these horrible things, like made me want to like play even harder for them and like be there even more for them and like all the things. Because I mean, I could have just, it's my 5th year, like I already graduated college, like, and not to out myself here, but I didn't really do like school my 5th like fall semester. I did like fake graduate classes. So it's not like I was really degree seeking. I just had like some courses I had to
To
take.
be able to play, to be eligible. That's what some girls on our team did too.
So like it's not that I really like needed to be there, but I wanted to be there based on like people who like have supported me so much and like that made me feel like good. So I wanted to be around people who like made me feel good.
I love that. And so too, I think it speaks volumes, the fact that while that stuff was happening with your mom and while she and your sister and your brother were just like not even in like a physical viewing of you and where you were, that you were still trying to show up and be that like leadership figure for your team too. Like that is huge because that takes so much strength and that takes so much, like, I don't even know the word for it. It's just like that is a different level of just being selfless. Like, I feel like truly, because it could have been so easy for you to be like, you know what, guys, like, I have so much going on. Like, I just really am just going to be like checked out, you know, which like would have been completely valid too. But I think that the fact that you even took it like upon yourself and chose to show up that way for like for your team, I mean, like, you just talked about how they treated and supported you, made you kind of play harder for them. I bet that they felt the exact same way, just with how much mm-hmm. that you were able to show up for them too, because that probably made them mm-hmm. want to just go and ride and play so much harder for you too, just because like they were probably seeing how much that you were dealing with and handling mentally. But I don't know, like, that is just, it's incredible. It is incredible, Sophie, seriously.
Thanks. No, it was an interesting experience. But I think even, like, my mom also, like, she loves volleyball or, like, loved volleyball. And she was able to come and fly out with my sister a couple times to do a couple home games at Georgia. And then she went to, she wanted to see, so me and Maddie Skinner used to play together at Kentucky. And so she's, like, a huge Maddie Skinner fan. And so she came to the Texas game to see Maddie. And me, of course, but I think...
of course.
But my mom also, she would have never let me, like, stop playing, or even, like, when I went professionally and, like, she really started to, like, go downhill, she was like, you're actually gonna stay there, so, like, you have to, like, it's not that she didn't want me to come and see her, but she knows how much that, like, I love volleyball and knew how much that, like, that made me happy, and that was not, like, an escape for me, but it's very healthy for me. Like,
it is very healthy.
Need to do it. And so, like, she knew how much it meant to me, so she was like, don't let me, like, not really be a burden to you, but, like, don't leave what you love doing to, like, come see me when, like, I don't know, she was a very blunt lady. Like, she would be like, don't leave and come see me when, like, I'm not gonna be here that long anyways, but, like, you have a career to, like, chase. So, but that's when it got, like, really tough towards, like, you know, Skylar, but, like, I was talking to Skylar, my roommate, and I was like, what would you do? Like, Kansas City tournament or, like, go see my mom? Like, I don't know. So, like, there was a bunch of times where I had to, like, have these, like, really tough battles of, like, my mom wants me to be here and, like, wants me to play volleyball and wants me to, like, live my life and, like, get to do all super fun, cool things. But then it's, like, I only get one mom. Like, everyone only gets one mom. So, like, do I do what she's telling me to do or do, like, what feels like the right thing? Like, any normal person would do and, like, go see her. So, I don't know. There was just so many times where, like, I love how much she, I guess, encouraged me to, like, stay in it and, like, maybe threatened me a couple times of, like...
That's what moms are for. That's what moms are for, to say the least. That's what moms are for.
She would be like, I'm gonna haunt you if you ever quit. I don't think she would joke, though. Like, she
would. I like how blunt she is. That's what...
Yeah, she's funny. But, yeah, I love how much she encouraged me to go and continue to play and stuff, but it was definitely challenging to try to be two places at once, I guess. Like, be with my mom, do what she wants me to do. So.
Yeah, I can, oh my gosh, yeah, I can only imagine. But to, like, I just think, it just seems like you got and have so many things that it just seems like, just even from that one story behind your mom too, like, you mm-hmm. just seem like you just carry so much of her within you too, that I feel like now whenever you are playing, it's gonna just put, like, I don't know, like, it just must feel so much, like, more, like, empowering, I feel like, too, just knowing yeah. that, like, you are doing exactly what she wants you to be doing, yeah. you know, too. And I feel like, too, just with how much that she was selfless with you and wanting you to stay focused on, like, you know, like, your life, playing volleyball, doing, like, those things as well, too. Like, that is a huge testimony to her character. But I also think that so many of those characteristics that she has and that she held, she just was able to pass on to you, too. And I feel yeah. like that's what is so special, just within, like, seeing you and even just, like, hearing you even talk about her, because I mean, like, you just seem like you just like embody her in so many ways. And like that is probably one of the truest and greatest gifts that like she could have ever asked, was just for you to like embody just like the woman that she was, and just like showing the world who she was through you, you know, like.
Yeah, I think it sucks that like these things don't happen like earlier, like I guess when your parents, like, I don't know. Sorry, my throat is dry. But I think it sucks whenever, like, you don't start to see these, like, huge characteristics from, like, a loved one or whoever earlier in life and whatnot. But not sucks in a bad way, but it's just, like, I think that my mom, like, seeing her, like, fight so hard. Like, she had, like, stage 4 glioblastoma cancer, which is, like...
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wanting to ask, if you could kind of tell, but just because,
yeah,
like... I don't know the full, like, extent or story to it. And also, I wanted to know and ask, like, how often were you able to, like, see her throughout the process as well, too? Yeah.
So, she got diagnosed in February of, like, 2024, I think. Yes, that's it. So, I was literally just, like, chilling. Like, I went to go get margaritas to my friends, and, like, my dad texted me and was, like... Like, my earlier in the day, like, my mom, like, she went to the hospital, but, like, they just thought it was something, like, chill. No, my dad texted us and was, like, she has tumors, so, like, that's not great. And then I was, like, tweaking out, and I was, like, what? And so I'm with people, like, thank goodness. But, like, I go back, and we start, like, figuring out, like, what to do. I call my mom, and, like, do you want me to come back? Like, she's in South Carolina at this point. I was, like, I can come down there. Like, nobody's going to care, like... It's spring, like, it doesn't matter. No, like, I'm probably fine, like, don't worry about it, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, okay, like, I trust you. And then a little while later, she goes and gets her, like, MRI or, like, CAT scan, a more, like, specific scan for that. And the oncologist is able to look at it and tell that it's, like, a, I guess it was, like, a golf ball-sized tumor. And it's in her frontal lobe, so I think it was up here. And, so, your frontal lobe, that's, like, motor skills, like, her speech was really, like, not messed up, but, like, she would just, like, not say words, like, normally, I guess. Like, if you didn't, we would joke about this, too, where she did sound like she was drunk, like, 24/7. Like, we would, like, literally, she wanted to get a shirt that says, like, I'm not drunk, I have brain cancer. Like, she would joke about it. I promise. But, and then, like,
you have to, like, be able to, like, make humor out of it, though. Like, you, right, like, you have to.
But then the tumor also, like, affected, like, I guess, you know how they're, like, the half of your body, like, this brain controls the left side, this one controls the right.
Mm-hmm. So her left arm. It's like an X.
Yeah, her left arm, she, towards the end of it, she lost, like, basically all function in it, and, like, would kind of just have to have an embrace, because this is also a funny story. She would laugh at this stuff. She would tell everyone this.
Yeah, please, please, please. I want to hear.
She would, like, one day she kept closing her dresser and, like, it wouldn't close. And my aunt was like, what are you doing down there? Like, what are you doing in there? And went to go check. And my mom is, like, slamming her hand in the dresser.
Because she couldn't. She can't feel it. Yeah, she can't feel it.
And so then she's like, ow! Like, pulls it up.
Pulling her hand out because she can't feel it.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are all both, like, bad things, but, like, funny stories out of it. But, yeah, so...
And just, then, like, slamming just... her hand. I know. And I can only imagine being like, what are you doing?
Like, I know. She's, like, up there, and she's like, what are you doing in there? And my mom's like, the drone won't shut.
The drone won't shut. Meanwhile, it's just her hand that's making it not. That is hilarious.
Right. But then... What else? I mean, like, her, as the further we got, because she got projected, like, I think, like, 10 to 12 months, or 12 to 18 months, like, whenever she was diagnosed. It was so, like, surreal, I think, at first, because I was told away from any family. I was told, well, like, I had nobody to, like, I couldn't see it in person, so I didn't really believe. And so when I went up to Ohio, I went, like, a week before spring break. I think I took, like, a couple weeks off, but I went up there and my coaches were like, can you please, like, leave and, like, go and see your family? And I was like, yes. And so I go up there and, like, I see my mom, and, like, I just think it was, that was probably one of the hardest parts, is, like, the first time I saw her and being like, okay, this is real. And like,
it's like real life.
Yeah. And I remember like whenever they told me about like the glioblastoma and everything. And so I did the worst thing you could do. I hop on like Google and I'm like researching it because I'm like, I could figure out something, or like, let me see if I can do anything to help or like prepare myself. And like, there's really nothing that like can prepare you for that.
But I feel like that is one of the most hardest points of it too, because there's really nothing that you can do, you know, like there's really nothing that you can do to fix it, to be able to take it away, to be able to change it. And that's where I just like, oh my gosh. So,
and I'm such a like control freak. Like if I can control as many things as I can, like the better I feel. And so me not being able to control the outcome of my mom's sickness, like literally drove me crazy. And, but I think that like, she was very good about like talking, like we're very open. Like honestly, we probably joked about some things more than we should have. Like maybe in other people's
perspective. So healthy though, truthfully.
It helps us.
Yes, yeah. That's how I am too. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, so we would talk about like death and like her dying a lot, and like there were several times where like I talked to her about like what we're doing before her funeral and like what we're doing after, and like I don't know, like we would talk about so many things so openly. So I think that made it not easier by any means, but like when she did pass away, it was like,
I feel like it like emotionally though probably helped like a little bit, at least to like, like at least not to fully dive into like the like denial aspect of it too, you know. And I think just with how you all just talk so freely, like how you all spoke so freely, like about death too, because that's honestly like a topic that many people would just want to like avoid completely, right? Yeah. I mean, like which like makes complete sense, because it's so scary, and it's like, and it, like it is literally something that you never want to ever even like try to like imagine. But I think that the sooner that you can just talk freely and just make it open, I just feel like it has to at least help in some way, shape, or form.
Like, even if I'm the healthiest parent on earth, like, I do want to talk to my kids about, like, what happens when I die. Because I think that, like, I am just so glad she talked to us about it and stuff. Because when it did happen, like, we were like, okay, you're not in pain anymore. And, like, that's the number one thing that we want. And, like, you're happy, you're healthy, you get to, because she wasn't eating, she wasn't, like, getting up. She was basically, like, sleeping for, like, a week. Obviously, she was, like, brain cancer, like, it's not great. But, so, we were just, like, not glad, but we were, like, you're in such a better place, and we've talked about this, we know where you are, we, like, know you're in good hands, like, you're also with, like, our old dog, and, like, grandma, and, like, all these things. So, like, I don't know. We talked about it so much that it definitely took away the denial part of, like, no way. Or the shock part, too, I think, because we knew it was coming. But I just think the hardest part was, like, knowing it's coming and not knowing when for a year and a half straight. Because you go to bed and you don't know if she's going to, like, wake up the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
For, like, a year and a half straight. And even, like, whenever I'm not there, or, like, whenever I was in Utah, and I was like, okay, well, it's a 4-hour flight there, so if something happens, like,
the 4 hours.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really, I don't know, like, I think that was,
it's like, mentally taxing, just because it's, oh my gosh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, but, no, I mean, that's kind of all, I think that just, like, it was just so hard to be in Utah and know that, like, especially, because whenever, sorry, so, after Christmas, that's when, like, she started to really start to go downhill. But after Christmas, that's when I went to Utah.
Yep. Okay, yeah, because that's where I was curious with, like, how you were able to manage and handle being in Utah, and, like, how and if and, like, what that exactly looked like whenever, towards the end of it, like, were you able to, like, be with her?
Yeah. So, my staff was really good, like, I'm so glad I had it. Because if I was overseas, they'd be like, no, like,
oh my gosh. Carly.
And so,
I can't even imagine if you were overseas.
No, me neither. I'm so glad that I'm in the United States for this. But, so I basically, like, my sister and my aunt called me, And they were like, she's not really eating. She was on hospice anyways. And they were like, the hospice nurse came and they were like, we don't know how much longer she has, but we know that it's not going to be like long. And so I remember this so vividly too. This is like silly, but like this is actually really silly, but it softens the blow. So I got these chicken tenders. I was so excited to eat. But whenever I get sad, like that's the last thing I want to do is like eat something. And so my sister's calling me and I'm like, let's mukbang with her. Like I'm going to eat. She's going to talk to me like fun time. And like I pick up the phone and like both of them are crying and I'm like, oh shit. So I didn't get to eat my tenders, but that's fine.
I'm going to send you some chicken tenders after this.
Yes. They're my favorite. But yeah, I think that, like, the moment where, like, she did pass away and stuff, I was, like, able to go, because that's when I talked to my coaches, and I was, like, they were going to the Kansas City tournament.
Oh, yes. Was that the tournament that you were talking to Sky about, and we were, like, to, like, cool?
Yes, yeah, because that's, like, they called me, like, 2 days before that, and this is, like, a week and a half long trip, because they're going to be there for a week. And then right after Kansas City, they went to Austin. Or Houston.
I think it was Austin, because I think Sky told me about that week trip or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. But Tama, my coach, was like, I even told her, I asked Skylar and Tama, my head coach, both these questions. It's like, sorry, I had to ask you guys that. But at the same time, like, I had no clue what to do. And, like, even my aunt, my sister, my closest friends, they were like, I think you should just do what you want to do. And I'm like,
and you were like, well, I don't know what that is. That just had to have been so hard, because it's like your mom, but it's also like your team as well too, which like seems small, but it's like that's like what you were like a part of too, you know? It's like that is what you have been like, I don't know, that just well, like it it's just hard. Like torn.
Yeah, it was hard because I, like, we have four middles. Like, if I leave, that's three. And then it's, like, Haley and Tori and Serena. Like, if something happens to them, they only have two.
Two. Mm-hmm. And especially for middles, like, with how much that you all work and jump.
Yeah, so just, like, I don't know. I was really nervous to leave for that. And then also just, like, what if I did get to go in? And, like, what if I did do good? And, like, what if, like, all the FOMO, like, am I going to miss it on this? All that. I know, and then, like, I was curious, like, is she gonna be mad at me if I go? And then it's, like, well, basically, I ended up calling one of, like, my high school coach. She's literally, like, an aunt to me these days, like, super close. But, so I called her, and I was, like, what do I do? Like, nobody's telling me what to do, like, what do I do? And she was, like, you only get one mom, like, but you also get one pro career, so, like, are you gonna look back, like, picture yourself, like, 10 years from now, are you gonna regret not going to Kansas City volleyball tournament? Or, like, not being there for, like, your mom's death.
I love that question. Wow.
Yeah. So, like, once I put into perspective of, like, 10 years from now, then I was like, okay, clearly.
You need to go to your mom.
Yeah. So, I flew up there and stuff, and, like, that was hard. Like, once you, because I'm seeing everything through FaceTime. Like, so, it's not like I'm really not feeling anything, but, like, I also, like I said, like, I push everything down, so I'm just, like, I don't want to feel it. And I'm not a big crier either, so I don't want to cry about it.
That's how I am, too. Like, I'm the type where, like, I will cry once I've reached my absolute breaking point, but, like, I won't cry. As much as I hurt, I will be strong enough to not cry somehow. Like, it's very bad, but
it's so healthy to cry, and I've learned that, like, you need to do it, but I'm just, like, not a fan.
It makes me uncomfortable, and I don't know why, but, like, crying makes me feel so weird. And there are some people, and I am in awe of them, who just cry at everything. And I'm like, I wish that was me, because it's, like, the, like, it's, like, the feeling, and it's, like, the, like, release that you feel and have feels so good and feels so, it's just, like, such a big relief. But it's so hard to cry, and I don't know why sometimes.
Yeah. So this is a sidebar to, like, the story of, like, the mom stuff and everything, but my college, like, athletic trainer, her name is Jubilee, and she's, like, the one person on earth, even to this day, like, I've called her, like, full crash outs, like, not full, like, mad crash outs, but, like, she's, like, the one person who, like, I feel like gets the most out of me, but she also knows, like, very oddly too. Like, she'll know like how to get out of me and like how to make me cry without like being rude, I guess. But it's definitely helping. Like, after I talk to her, I feel so much better. But yeah, so yeah, but whenever I got, just to wrap up on the mom stuff, but whenever I went up there and like saw her, it was like hard to, like, not that I wasn't allowed to be sad, like obviously I was, but at the same time, like, I don't want her to like be upset like right before she goes, so I'm like, yeah, just like trying to keep it, like, even though like she wouldn't care, like, if anything, that woman wanted me to cry more than anything, but I just like couldn't do it. But yeah, I mean, we like, oh, this is the other crazy part. So my mom, we were just like waiting every day. We were just like, you are like not doing well. Like, you can go. We kept telling her like, you can go. Like, we love you. Like, all these things. Like, you just like, you're not doing well. Like, go be with grandma, go be with Jesus. Like, and her parents came, like, said goodbye to her and stuff. And all these things. And I mean, my mom, she was just such a like a kind person. She was so loving. She was not judgmental at all. Like, she was just like incredible. And so me and my sister, we got like these like matching tattoos, which like mine's down here, my mom's is here, and Gretchen's here. And so like, well, my mom didn't get it, but me and Gretchen have them, my sister. And so my mom, she passed away on Valentine's Day, like, which is like love and like hearts and like all these things. And then like for Mother's Day, we went on this like beach trip for like a week. That's where I just got back from, and we kept seeing hearts. And then like in the sand, there was hearts. And so like, I don't know. Like, it's just kind of like, I know. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's basically just a bit. But
first off, I'm sorry, sir. No one should have to go through that. Seriously, at all. And I'm sorry that you even had to. Like, I know that you really can't change anything, but I'm sorry that you even had to go through that in general. Could you kind of talk about, because I do just have a few questions just kind of within losing your mom as well. But I guess because something like that is like unfathomable. Like, it is something that I feel like you can't even picture until it actually happens, and you're just like, well, now I have to deal with it almost, you know? So I guess for kind of like how you've felt and been living after the fact too, how do you find strength and resilience, I guess, even now and afterwards, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, I'm a Christian, so like, I believe that she's like in a good place, and I feel that like all this like happened for a reason, and like it didn't just happen for nothing. And so I feel like there's something greater like coming for like all the like crap that we had to endure. And even for like my sister, like, she took care of my mom, like, took her to every treatment, every appointment, like, helped her get ready, helped her shower, like, do all the things. She was her like primary caregiver. So for her, like, I feel like she has like very like great things coming. And I think that just like knowing that and like having peace with that, knowing that like something greater is going to come out of this, just kind of helps you like go. And like, not that like, ooh, something good's going to happen to me because my mom died, not like that, but like more of like, she's in a good place, like, I'm going to be okay, like, all those things. So yeah.
And I think too, just it's almost like even though like her like physical body is not here, no matter what happens throughout your and your sister's lives too, like, she's still gonna be with you guys too, you know? And I feel like that's just whenever like, whenever those good moments and things do happen, you're gonna feel that much more connected to her, just because, like, I don't know, like, it's just gonna, I feel like, just feel so much more special and so much more like purposeful too, you know?
Yeah,
like, it's just gonna make it like a full circle almost.
Yeah, and I think that even like, I think that, not that, I don't know, I think that there's just like some coincidence things that happen, like a bunch of hearts on Mother's Day trips, and like, I know that like volleyball, like, more things are gonna happen to me where I'm just gonna like feel her love, I guess, throughout playing these. But I think that's just kind of like God's plan for me, and then I'm also just feeling like, I don't know how to really explain it. I don't know if that makes
no,
sense,
it makes
but
complete sense.
like, because she wanted me to do volleyball, I feel like there's good things coming from there.
100%. Because also it's like you have her higher power on your side too, you know, because it's like,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like if anything, it should just like, or not, sorry, not like it should just, but like, it could give you and your sister, I think, more hope and just knowing that like your mom is not going to steer you all wrong, you know? And I think that just knowing that she's literally right over top of you guys, just, you know, just like being right there with you guys, like she is not going to steer you guys in the wrong direction. She is not going to steer you guys into something mm-hmm. that she knows that you all can't handle. And I think that that's just going to make every single situation that you guys are in so much more special. And too, just kind of about those coincidences too, I think it's going to be so cool just as you all continue to get older too, because I feel like she's just going to keep sending you all just like small little signs, like whether that's through your personal life, whether that's through volleyball, whether that's through your future kids, mm-hmm. if you all want to have, like, you know, like kids one day and stuff like that. Like, that's where I think there's just going to be so many small moments where you're just going to be like, there, like, I don't know, like, there's going to be so many small moments where,
yes,
exactly, because that's even, this is just, like, a small little story about coincidences, too, because I had never gotten the opportunity to meet, like, my mom's dad, her three siblings, but it was crazy, because by that point, I was only 2 years old, and, like, she really didn't, like, speak much, like, about them yet to me and stuff, but I was getting my tonsils taken out, and I mean, like, she was scared to death. Like, I was in, like, my own little world or whatever. And, but so this nurse had given me this bear, and I mean, like, my mom was just worried, sick. Like, she just always gets super, like, nervous about that, because she's just like, well, something just, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she was walking me back, like, right before you go into those doors where they can't really, like, go back with you anymore. And I had looked up at her because she was just like petrified, and I was like, and then I like looked at her and I was like, and then I was like, well, don't worry, mom, Stacy's with me. And Stacy was her sister that I had never ever met before, and I had held up the bear, and I was like, well, don't worry, mom, Stacy's here with me. And it was just so like, it was just such a like, oh my god, like, I literally have like chills thinking about it, but like, it was just such,
yeah, that
it's
is
just
crazy.
Like, that was just one of those like small crazy coincidences where like there was literally nothing to even like explain it before, you know, because it was like, but like,
yeah,
that's just like those small little things where I just think that as you and your sister continue to like just to like grow like old and stuff, like I just feel like you are gonna just see so many small little moments that like are just gonna be so freaking surreal, and it's just gonna make you feel so much closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just gonna be so special too. But I'm a firm believer in coincidences, and I don't know how they happen or why, but I am a firm believer that they are coming from your people 100%.
Honestly, you're talking about those coincidences.
Yeah.
It is crazy that you said that story, because my mom's name was Stacy. So you even saying like the story about like, I know, isn't
that
nice?
No, that is crazy, Sophie. That is crazy.
I know, that's really weird.
That just gave me
I never told
chills.
You
that. Like, oh my gosh.
Ever.
That is.
Yeah.
See, and it's just like
nuts.
Stuff like that where I'm like, I cannot believe that your mom is named Stacy. Like, I swear she is literally with us here
I know.
In this conversation. That is crazy. I swear, that is literally her. That is literally her. No doubt. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. Could you just tell, just or explain or kind of talk about how has losing your mom impacted your perspective on life?
I think the biggest part is, like, whenever I was going through it, it just made me realize that, like, some things just, like, aren't that deep in life. Like, some arguments you're having with people just, like, really aren't that big of a deal. And like with volleyball too, if I would like literally slam 18 balls out of bounds, I was like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I do need to get better on it, but like, I'm not gonna like beat myself up as much as I would maybe 2 years ago about that. Or a simple thing, traffic, like I wouldn't scream in my car about somebody driving. Like, just your perspective on a lot of things just like change, and I think I got more patient, and almost wanted to like slow things down because I felt like whenever I could slow things down, I wasn't like, I felt like whenever I was speeding things up and like being like go 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 24/7, I felt like my life was being go go go, which my mom's a part of my life, which I didn't want to speed up my days right. too fast. So that's where like being present and being patient, like slowing everything down, came into play. But like once she did pass away, I think the biggest thing I've learned is just that like kind of the relationship stuff, like I don't know how I would have done any of this if I didn't have like people in my life who like loved me and like supported me and everything. So yeah, I think that's a huge one. I think another thing is like obviously like loving the people in your life. Like I think that me and my mom had a great relationship, but I like can't imagine like me and my mom we've had obviously like tiffs and stuff before, but like I know people who are like, my mom's so fucking annoying, like I hate my mom, like yada yada yada, and I'm like, I don't know how you feel that way. Like you wouldn't feel that way until like you go through something like this. But I think that it just really changes your perspective even of like other people in my life who like I don't know, even the person I hate the most, I wouldn't even say that I hate them. Like, you know, like, it's, like, you would never wish anything bad on anyone, like, obviously, but I think it just changes the way you think about, like, a lot of things, but, yeah, that's, like, 95 things in one thing, but, yeah, I think it changes a lot for you.
I love to unpack here. So, I love how you said that you want to try to, like, slow things down. Just because I feel like, especially within that time, mm-hmm. within your mom, that makes complete sense. But I think just this stage of life too, just because there's so much change, there's so much transitioning happening, it's so easy to think about like, go, 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 what's next, what's next, what's next mindset. But like, really the best thing that we can do is just take a step back and just be, you know, like, I feel like I can kind of go into, you know, like you said, how you really challenge yourself to stay present. You know, I think that being able to kind of slow down can help you try to stay present so much more too, because I feel like the second that you try to speed things up, you're just losing sight as to where you are at right now. And that can be it. Like, I feel like whenever you try to like speed things up, it can just take away so much of the beauty and so much value into the process and into the time that you have to actually build it, you know? Like, I feel like building and creating, whether or not it's relationships or your career or your skill sets, like whatever it is that you are trying to build and grow, really slowing it down and just trying to find value into that process is gonna make it so much more beautiful too. And I just love, love, love that. And I loved how you said too, like, things aren't that deep, you know? Like, I feel like it's so easy to cling on to things or cling on to conversations or arguments. And it can seem so big and so heavy and just so much. But I think in like the grand scheme of life, you're like, you know what? Like, yes, like I do need to work on my arm swing or my platform or my toss or this and that, or just like whatever it may be, but like it's not going to, like that is not gonna stop me from having like a bad day, or like that is not gonna stop me from having like a good day. That is not gonna stop me from continuing to try. You know, like I feel like whenever we make things deeper than they are, it can take away so much of the motivation to even go for it, you know? So I just love that, love that, love that. And kind of like the last thing, just about what you said too, about how it impacted your perspective too, is just like, love your people down bad, especially like if you have time. Like, I feel like that is something that like my mom continuously tries to push into just like my mind, is just like, time is valuable. Like, time that you have, conversations that you have, time that you have to be able to connect and talk and really just learn and listen, like that is the most valuable thing that we as humans can have, is just time. And I feel like time is also the one thing that it is so easy to take for granted too, you know, because it gets so easy to try to speed things up. It's absolutely. it is so easy just to try to lose sight in the time that you have. It's so important to realize that the time that we have on this earth, it's not going to last forever. You know, like, I think time, like anything in life, it's going, like, time is not permanent, you know, like it's like the time that we have is not going to last forever. But I think just making use of the time that you have with your people for as long as you have is the most essential thing that you can ever do in your life. And it's so special, like, seriously. So thank you so much just for being on Simply You. Your story, your journey is definitely not linear, but it is so valuable. It is so important. And just know that I cherish you and your family and your story so much. So just know that I'm always in your corner, that I am just in all of you, the woman that you are and the woman that you are going to be. Thank you so much. And you guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube and Spotify. And Sophie, again, just thank you so much. You are incredible.
Thank you so much. I had such a good time. And I can't wait to just keep in touch. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much, Sophie. You were amazing. And I love you so much.